Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Welcome to Life and Art from FT Weekend. I'm Lila Raptopoulos. Over the last couple of years, my colleague Josh Franklin did something pretty daunting. He decided to travel to every single state in America, all 50 of them. This thing Josh did is part of a growing phenomenon called completist travel. It means planning your trips around one overarching goal. And it leads people into all sorts of strange and interesting situations that they probably would never otherwise find themselves in. Josh is our U.S. banking editor, and he recently wrote a feature about this, so I've invited him into the studio today. As we start to plan our own trips for 2024, I thought he could tell us what he learned, both about traveling and about the U.S. Hi, Josh. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
So there's something very compelling to me about putting some simple framing around a thing like this, like travel.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to get into it. But first, I have to ask you, like, how does somebody start this? How did you get into it?
It's a weird thing. And it was something. So it was my wife and I who did it. My wife, Emily, and I. And it was something that we didn't start off planning to do it. It kind of coming out of the pandemic, we'd set ourselves this resolution to travel more. And also because, I mean, I'm from London, and because it was harder to go back to Europe because of the pandemic, we decided let's do like a new state every month.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of like snowballed when we realized actually we're getting quite close, you know, to doing all 50. And if we keep on going like this, we'll eventually get there. So that's when it kind of like became this like completionist competitive thing to like try to do all 50 states.
What were you after? Are you just naturally competitive, or were you trying to like kind of understand something about something?
So I think the competitive part of it, because like 50 is quite a nice number.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's big enough where it sounds impressive, but it's not like, you know, so big that it feels so far off.
Yeah.
But then also there was this fun thing of like, it makes you go to places that you wouldn't ordinarily go to.
Yeah.
Like if we hadn't done this, never would have been to North Dakota. Probably wouldn't have ever been to Nebraska unless I was like going to interview Warren Buffett or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think definitely there was like a thing of, you know, like what will I see? What will I learn about this strange, like vast country that I've lived in now for 6 years?
Yeah. So just for listeners who may have questions about your accent, you are not American.
No.
Although you sound a little bit American.
Yeah.
Where were you and your wife coming at this from as,
yeah,
or like approaching America?
So I'm British, but I've lived on and off in the U.S. for 10 years of my life, which is why my accent is like it is. And my wife, she grew up mainly in the U.S., in Massachusetts. But she's also half French and has spent like quite a bit of her time, her life in living in France. So we both kind of approached it with similar numbers of states that we had visited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think we were both keen to try to see what we'd learn and discover and see in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so what was the strategy?
So it started off with one state a month.
Okay.
And then you realize like quite early on, there's like, especially having New York as your base, you have big airports here that fly to most places, and there's lots of low-hanging fruit that you can do. But once you kind of like do all of the East Coast and a little bit of the West Coast, then it does become much harder. It takes like 5 or 6 hours to get there. It's harder to do it over a weekend. There are no direct flights. So then you start kind of like grouping states together. And
That's
where, you know, it takes a lot of planning when you're doing like a road trip through So we did the Upper Peninsula in the U.S. We start off in Minnesota, and then you go into Wisconsin, and then you go from Wisconsin into Michigan,
mm-hmm.
and you see like the Great Lakes and all that, which is great. We did a trip where we did the Gulf, where we start off in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
And then you drive New Orleans through Mississippi and then through to Alabama.
Right. Oh, cool.
And then that's also like the peculiar thing about this thing, and one of the things you again, just reminded of when you do this in America, it's like, you know, you have some states that you really can do in a few hours
mm-hmm.
with all the will in the world to Delaware or Rhode Island. These are like very, very small states.
I have a lot of people who would disagree with you. You could do Delaware and Rhode Island in a couple hours.
There's stuff to see, but like maybe a day,
Yeah.
You could do those in a day. Whereas somewhere like Texas or California, I mean, mm-hmm. that's like four states, you know, rolled into one.
Totally. What did it mean to you? When did you feel like it was like you had gotten enough of a feel to check it off? Like when did it feel like you had been somewhere?
So my benchmark, and it's not a perfect one, is we ended up deciding that it was basically if you, obviously airports don't count.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to, some people describe it as you have to breathe the air and touch the ground of the state.
Okay.
And I always try to at least have a meal in every state.
Yeah. And not at like a Dunkin' Donuts.
Exactly. Like
right.
Ideally something like local as you're passing through.
Yeah. Okay. I'd love to hear a little bit about what you did and saw. My first question about that is, was there anywhere where you thought, I really want to spend more time here?
Mm. So Montana was the one that we like real East Coast cliches of like wanting to pack in an urban life and move to like the mountains in Montana. But we had such a great time in Montana. And it really is, if anyone does get the chance to go there, Glacier National Park is just one of the most beautiful places in the U.S. that you can visit.
Why?
It's just the landscapes. I mean, everything there just like looks like a picture. And it's just an amazing nature as well. Alaska as well. is we spent a week in Alaska and we did three national parks when we were there and drove around like a good chunk of the state, but there's still five other national parks we haven't done.
Mm-hmm.
And then places like Texas, I've only been to Austin in Texas, which is like
not representative
of like wider Texas.
Yeah.
So you go to these places and even though you do all 50 states, you realize like there's still so much left of the country that you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've only done about 20 national parks and there's more than 60 to get through. You know, there's like still a lot left to see.
Yeah. Were there ever times where you were sitting at a meal and thinking, this was a huge mistake. Why did I do this?
So when I moved to New York 6 years ago, I can't say like I thought I was going to be doing New Year's Eve in Mobile, Alabama 1 year, or I thought I was going to be doing like July 4th weekend in Medora, North Dakota, about to watch a musical. So you do have like some surreal moments of like, where am I?
Mm-hmm.
It was less over like meals, more like when you're driving through like the middle of nowhere, Idaho,
mm-hmm.
middle of nowhere, Alaska, and you have no reception on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you have like a quarter tank of gas left and you're just praying that, you know, nothing goes wrong with your car. Cause if something does, then you like, you know, you actually are just like, you're literally relying on the kindness of strangers and having to like hope someone pulls over to help you.
Yeah.
There are some places I don't think we wouldn't rush back to, but nowhere where we regretted having been to, like every mm-hmm. trip we did was worthwhile.
That's cool. Yeah. Were there times where you were sitting somewhere and thinking, okay, this is the best thing like I've ever done. Emily, thank you for planning this.
So one of the most fun moments we had. So with the weekend we were doing Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
We flew to Kansas City and we arrive on a Friday evening and we have no plans. And so mm-hmm. we see what's on in Kansas and we see the Bruce Springsteen's in town.
Wow.
And tickets were reasonably affordable. So we ended up going to see Bruce Springsteen, and Emily and I, neither of us were big Bruce Springsteen fans. I could maybe name like two of his songs.
Uh-huh.
But after that concert, we, which was in, I think, February of this year, we became Bruce Springsteen super fans.
Yes.
And it literally became the soundtrack when we would go on all these road trips. We just listened to Bruce Springsteen like nonstop. And I could actually have receipts for it because when I got my Spotify Wrapped,
I was like, you're a sudden new. No,
I was in the top 0.1% of Bruce Springsteen listeners for 2023.
Nice.
But that was just such a great moment. Like, we wouldn't have been doing this if we hadn't decided to come here. So that was like a great moment.
That makes me wonder what your strategy was once you got somewhere. Like, if you could give advice to people who are maybe not going to do this whole thing, but like go on road trips to places that they wouldn't normally go. Like, how did you choose where you stayed? How did you choose what you wanted to see? How did you choose the restaurant that you went to that would maybe represent to you that place?
Yeah. So I think part of it, it's good to have like at least one thing that anchors the trip. So, and this comes back to like, if you're going to do this, set yourself like what you want to get, something that's like the most out of it. Mm-hmm. For us, it was very much like food, national parks, and presidential libraries. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of anchored basically everywhere we went to, there was hopefully like at least some local food that we were going to try, some national park we were going to drive to, or some presidential library we were going to go and visit. Mm-hmm. And so then everything else can kind of just like come out of that.
Yeah. What about meeting people and having conversations with people?
Yeah. So this was like kind of the fun thing. One of the things to know about people who have been to all 50 states is you barely need to ask them a question before they manage to turn the conversation to the fact that they've been to all 50 states. So I drop that in conversation quite often now. But one of the fun things is now, literally whoever I meet in the US, you have something to talk about with them because you've been to the state where they're from, wherever that is. And it was even when we were flying back from Alaska, actually, I was next to a very, very sweet elderly couple from Alabama. Mm-hmm. And we were talking and asked them where they're from. And they said they're from Alabama. And it's like, oh, I've been to Alabama. I've been to Mobile. I've been to Dauphin Island. So you can like have common ground with all these kind of strangers that you meet, which is really nice. And the other thing is when you turn up for a hotel for the night in Clarksville, Arkansas, and they ask you where you're from and you say you're from New York, they're kind of like, what are you doing here? And when you tell them like, oh, this is, you know, trying to visit all the 50 states, everyone's really into it. They're really kind of, or maybe they're just working for tips, I don't know, but they seem like they're really like interested by it. And they always have like loads of questions about what the trip is like.
Wow. Okay. So that leads to my next question, which is that, unsurprising to many listeners, we live in a very divided country and we have an election coming up in a year, for better or for worse. And it's on a lot of people's minds, you know, and the idea of like, what is America and what does America want and how are Americans thinking right now can feel like an unanswerable question because America is made up of a lot of individual humans. But you've probably met a lot of those humans now, more than the average person. What did you learn about it?
I think America, it's like such a, it's a split country in so many ways. And one of the things you realize when you're driving through it as much as we did, you'll drive through all of these small towns, you know, which just feel, you know, America is such a rich country in many ways, but then you drive through these places where you just feel there's so little money here and like you don't feel like opportunity, and you can understand how they would feel like they've been failed by the government.
Yeah.
And those are the places where you tend to see like, or at least we found like the most Trump signs. And things. The other thing is you feel like Trump supporters much more than you do Biden supporters in the US. Like you see a lot more yard signs and a lot more bumper stickers for Trump than we did for Biden or for liberal or Democratic candidates and causes. So that was pretty visible. But I think, I know it sounds cheesy, but I think it is always just helpful to, you know, get out of New York and go and see and meet people and speak to people. I always think it's helpful not to talk about politics just because, you know, show you, you know, there's a life beyond that. But yeah, and just to understand. And the other thing I can say is despite inflation slowing down, the US is a very expensive country. Whenever I go back to London feels so cheap. Whereas it's not just New York's expensive. It's like everywhere as expensive in the U.S. that we went to.
You felt that all the cities that you, that's interesting.
All the cities, the towns, I mean, hotels and cars are expensive. Mm-hmm. Meals are expensive. I mean, it was just like, it's an expensive, expensive place.
Yeah. Josh, as we wrap up, I wonder if the way that you travel or the reason that you travel has changed now that you have successfully done, you know, quote unquote, done these 50 states, kind of completed your mission and have time now to do kind of the kind of travel you want.
No, I think the big thing is, you know, I always primarily used to look at holidays, you know, experience new things, but primarily it's like as a time off from work, basically, and a way to rest. But I think now it's like even more, you know, wanting to experience new things, so go to new places. And also realizing, you know, that's like the classic thing of like journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step, where it's like, once you actually like start going to new places, it really just, you kind of get a bug for it and you just kind of can't stop.
Yeah. Last question, kind of a speed round. If there were three places that you would recommend in America that people go that you may not have recommended before, what would you say?
Ocean Springs, Mississippi is a beautiful town. You'll have a great time there. Mm-hmm. Either of the Dakotas are great.
Okay.
Upper Peninsula along the Great Lakes in Michigan is fantastic. And Duluth, Minnesota.
Duluth, Minnesota.
Is a really fun town.
Amazing. Okay. Josh, this was incredible. Thank you. You have encouraged me to travel my country. Thanks for being here.
I'm thrilled to hear that. Thank you.
That's the show. Thank you for listening to Life and Art from FT Weekend. Take a read through the show notes. I have linked to Josh's travel story about the topic. That link will get you past the paywall. In the show notes, I also have discounts for a subscription to the Financial Times, and we have ways to stay in touch with me and with the show on email, on X, or on Instagram. I'm Lila Raptopoulos, and here is my talented team. Katya Kumkova is our senior producer. Lulu Smith is our producer. Our sound engineers are Breen Turner and Sam Javinko, with original music by Metaphor Music. Topher Forges is our executive producer, and Cheryl Brumley is the global head of audio. Have a lovely week, and we'll find each other again on Friday.